I just want to warn you that it's going to be a little bit different sermon, different than what I usually preach and different from what you usually hear, especially for those of you who are second language folks. I want to prepare you for this one because I'm going to pretend to be Rhoda, not Jack Rhoda, but the Rhoda from Acts chapter 12. And I'm going to pretend like I'm speaking from her diary. Do you know what a diary is? Those of you from other countries, you know what a diary is? No? Okay. Well, sometimes in America and some other countries, we have a diary where we take notes. And I don't mean the kind where you write your schedule, on Wednesday I'm going to meet somebody for coffee. But when you say, dear diary, and then you start to share about your day, maybe you write some personal struggles that you had or the things that are happening in your life. And so we have this kind of, in our culture, this understanding about sharing with your diary some things that you might not be ready to share with other people, or maybe you will. But that's what this is going to be this morning. It's going to be Rhoda is writing in her diary about what happened in Acts chapter 12. Okay, so, dear diary, that's how the diary entry begins. Dear diary, I have so much to say. I can hardly control myself after everything that has happened in just the past couple of weeks. Just 1 month ago, I was all alone after Mother died, and I was working for a cruel master. And then I came to Mary Auntie's house. I came to Mary through the strangest way, but that's a story for another time. Right now, I need to tell about the past few weeks. Herod, that terrible king, he acts like he made the world. It seems that all he really wants to do is to show off his glory at the palaces that his grandfather made, but his luxury is not enough to please him. And so now he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the church. Oh yes, I should tell you, I myself have become a Christian too. When I came to work for Mary Auntie just a little while ago, one of the first things she taught me to do was to pray. At first, I just prayed to please Mary, but I soon found that I was believing in the same God as she was. Every day we pray, and I work hard too, but nobody has ever treated me like Mary Auntie, and her son John has been tutoring me to help improve my writing. Anyway, back to Herod. He killed James. I met James' uncle only a few times, but he treated me with a kindness that I have never known before. He loved us all, and he taught us the things that Jesus taught him when he was a disciple with Jesus. I could listen to James for hours. But how could we know that before the feast of unleavened bread would be the last time that we would see James alive? I remember almost every word that James said to us that night when he was teaching at the prayer meeting. And then suddenly he was gone, taken away. Before we even really accepted that he was gone, dead, I mean. Before we even accepted that, Herod took Peter too. But we prayed. We believers prayed. We prayed that Peter would be released. At first, I didn't really realize how seriously we believers were praying for Peter to be released. I mean, does anybody get away from Herod's guards? But then I remembered what James, and Peter too, had taught us about Jesus walking on the water, feeding thousands of people, healing diseases, healing blindness, and that's just the beginning. I think this time was my first real prayer. Oh, I mean, my baptism prayer was real too, but this was the first time that I really prayed for God to do something and to do it right now, today. And so I said it. I prayed right with them that night. I said, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Please rescue Peter today. And an hour later, while we were still praying, there was a knock at the gate. I went to get it, and Mary Auntie looked at me to remind me, don't let any strangers in. But it was Peter. I ran back and I yelled, it's Peter. Peter, uncle, is at the gate. They didn't believe me. And even Mary Auntie said, you're out of your mind. I tell you, this was the first time I felt like a slave again since coming to Mary Auntie's house. How could she shame me like that? I know we Christians are supposed to forgive, but I just don't know if I can forgive her for this. Would you? Oh, yes, I do love her still, but I just think it's a lot to ask that I forgive her for shaming me like that right in front of everyone. But I insisted that it was Peter, and John Mark said, it's probably his angel. He's been killed by Herod. Of course, they very quickly realized that it was Peter, and I was right. And believe me, I wanted to rub it in their noses. That's what we Romans say when we don't think that our masters are paying attention. Maybe this was what Jesus meant about having faith like a child. Well, I'm not bragging, but I think I had more belief than the believers who taught me to believe. And anyway, it must be said that I'm not really a child anymore. Mary Auntie herself said that you are a precocious young woman. I don't know what precocious means, but I think it's another word for woman. But honestly, imagine it. We were all together and praying for Peter to be saved, and there he was at our gate, and they would rather believe it was Peter's angel than that it was Peter himself. Absurd. And absurd means silly, ridiculous, and things like that. At least Thomas' uncle believed me, or at least he was the first one who was willing to come with me to the gate and check. He must have known and seen how upset I was that nobody believed me. And so he patted me on the shoulder, and he said, Rhoda, some of us are slower to believe, but Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. And he said, think about these things. God will give you understanding into all of this. I really have no idea what he was talking about. But back to Peter's story. He told us that he thought he was going to die. He said that Jesus had told him, you will die for me. And he thought this was his last night as he was there with the guards. And he said, I tried to pray, but I fell asleep. I was so exhausted after I shared the gospel with the two guards. And then an angel woke him up. I do wonder about angels. I used to worship Zeus with Mother, and Zeus seemed like an angel to me. Zeus is one of the Greek gods. But now I know that angels are all around us. They are ministering spirits to help us on the way of salvation. And I asked Peter, Uncle, what was the name of the angel? He said, dear child, I didn't think to ask. I thought I was asleep. Then Peter said that he thought he was escaping in a dream because the whole jail cell was so full of light that it could have awakened the dead, not to mention Herod's guards. And Herod's guards would die. They would be killed if one of their prisoners escaped. And so Peter thought it must be a dream. And then the chains fell off of his hands, and they made so much noise that Peter thought for sure Herod would hear it himself. Then he said, they walked out, and the city gate opened for them, and the angel left. What was it like for that angel who rescued Peter? I wonder if that angel was afraid that perhaps Peter would get caught. When the angel left, though, Peter knew that he had been saved. It's so strange how God walked Peter right out of the jail. He made the chains fall off. He opened the gates. And then, when Peter came to our house, he couldn't get inside the gate. First, I forgot to open the gate, and then they didn't believe me that it was Peter. Peter told us everything. I'm alive. I'm alive, he said. He was filled with joy. And then he burst into tears. He wept for his dear friend James. He said, why did God take James? James still had so much to teach the church. And now he's taught us with his death. And we all wept for James. But we were at the same time filled with a joy that God answered our prayers for Peter. I cannot explain it, but the Holy Spirit was with us. Then we sang a simple hymn, one that has become dear to my heart. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Master. He gave his life for our disaster. Oh, what a king. Oh, what a master. How can it be our servant, our master? Then Peter blessed us with these words. Dear friends, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. It will be the place when and where everything is made right again. God promised these things to us. And I know you are looking forward to that day, so try your best to be found pure and without blame. Be at peace with God. Remember that while our Lord is waiting patiently to return, other people are still being saved. Dear friends, you have already been warned that some people will live according to their own sinful desires, so be on your guard. Then you won't be led astray by such people. Instead, you will remain safe. Now grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him alone, both now and forever. Amen. Then Peter left us and he went somewhere else. Herod, of course, killed the guards. But Peter did have hope for their salvation. He shared the story about how one centurion who was at Jesus' crucifixion recognized that Jesus must be the Son of God. Then today, we just heard that Herod himself has died. Apparently, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they wanted to make peace. And then 5 days ago, when some of them came and they spoke and came to them, he spoke to a crowd in the theater by his palace in Caesarea. He wore his silver robe. He spoke to them of the greatness of his kingdom. He spoke to them of his own greatness. And the people cheered and they chanted. They said, Herod is king, Herod is master. Thousands will serve him, the voice of a god, not of a man. He's robed in glory, Herod our king. I remember as a small girl seeing something similar like this for the ruler Herod Antipas. At the time, it seemed so exciting. Thousands of people were cheering in the streets and incense was burning in the doors and the windows. But now, it gives me chills up and down my spine. Just to remember, just to think back that this kind of praise would go to a human being and not to God, it makes me shiver with dread. But Herod loved the praise. He did not return it to God, and he collapsed right in front of them all, and he died just today. Just 1 week ago, James had been killed. Then Herod took Peter. Now Peter is free, and Herod is killed. Sometimes we Christians are afraid. Sometimes we have faith that is bold and it can move mountains. Sometimes we confess our sins together. But sometimes we cry out to God when we do not understand his way. Oh, James, uncle. But in all of it, we are together. And I never knew, just even 1 month ago, that such a people, that such a community, that such a God existed. How can it be, Lord Jesus, that I belong to you, that you have bought me, a servant girl, with your own precious blood? You see, we are in the midst of a fire. Every day, more and more people are gathering in houses just like Mary Auntie's, coming together for prayer and for worship. It's God's Word. It's like a fire inside of us. It's a fire around us. It's a fire that's going through us to other people. And I believe that someday, many people from places that we have never even heard of are going to come and join us in worship to Jesus. God's word is a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces, Peter said. And Herod couldn't stop it. And I don't think I'm being too bold to say it, but the empire cannot stop God's word either. Amen.